Jean-Pierre Falster from Protea Capital Management. Thank you so much for your time. Looking at the markets today, much ado about China. First of all, we have the news that China is investing $28 billion into local governments. And then the World Bank comes out and says China is not expected to continue firing on all cylinders and putting subdued growth forecasts into the spectrum. It's impacting the local market. Perhaps you can just talk to us about what is happening on the ground.
Yes, thanks, Bronwyn. So I do see the JSE is down about 1.3% today, intraday. Most of that is in the commodity space. So commodity counters as well as Naspers and Prosus are down sharply as a result of what you say was happening in China. World markets as well are down. In Europe, we're down about 0.5%, and the U.S. futures are little changed. So the U.S. markets will open in just under an hour, but it doesn't seem like at least the U.S. will be much lower. So most of the markets that are impacted negatively around the world are because of China. And the big news this morning was that there was a news conference, and people thought there might be further stimulus announced, and there wasn't. So people had high expectations, and when high expectations meet rising share prices, and then those expectations aren't met, you get falling share prices. And that's why the Hang Seng index this morning ended 9% lower. So quite a big knock in China this morning.
Does that have bearing on the way that you look at the market, particularly with any exposure in the commodity space, if you have exposure in the commodity space, Jean-Pierre?
It does. So both the commodity space and I would say Chinese tech space are the two main areas that I think most South African investors would need to think about because of what's happening on the other side of the world. And on the commodity side, we saw a little bit of a blip, upwards blip in the likes of Kumba, BHP Billiton, Anglo American, on the back of this stimulus the last 2 weeks, just as China came out of their golden week. The first one to the 8th or first of to the 7th of October is Golden Week, National Day Golden Week. And that boosted commodity stocks. But today, the view is that, well, maybe the stimulus is not as big as what was expected. Question mark is whether it will be sustainable. And if it isn't sustainable in terms of really getting that Chinese growth going, like you mentioned earlier, also the World Bank asking questions about that, then maybe we won't see more steel consumption and therefore we won't see iron ore prices. So we have very little commodity exposure. We are short commodities in our hedge funds, and that has worked for us. And we'll probably continue being short commodities because of how this is playing out. And then on the tech side, we still have long exposure to Naspers and Prosus, and we continue to have that because we do think ultimately there will be some pickup in confidence in China that will positively impact the likes of Naspers and Prosus.
How do you cut and dice the market, local versus international, in the current cycle that we're seeing, which is obviously a rally on the local front, given the interest rate cutting cycle that is starting to take hold? Of course, that is being led by interest rate cuts on the global front, with another cut expected from the Fed in November. But perhaps you can just give a little insight into how you cut and dice the market, as I said.
Yeah, so very interesting. I've been thinking of that literally the last 2 days because of these big moves that we've seen. And there's a lot of talk about emerging markets versus developed markets and Western markets versus Asia. But if you drill down to the indices that most people quote, it's fascinating to see that these indices aren't purely emerging market indices or purely developed market indices. And what I mean by that is even in South Africa, if you look at the All Share and you look at the companies that make up the All Share Index, on a look-through basis, 60% roughly of the revenue generated by a local market actually comes from other countries. Similarly, if you look at the UK, it's even higher. It's roughly 70%. And in Europe, it's almost 50-50 by some accounts. And in the US, it's 40%, as high as that, of companies listed in the US that actually generate their revenue outside of the US. So the way that we slice and dice is we don't take this approach of saying, oh, what do, say, the indices in the US do versus the indices in South Africa and Europe and the UK? Because if you drill down, you see these are not pure play indices. And that's why our focus is more on stock specifics. If you look at a specific stock, these themes that you see globally do play out, but it's much purer way to think about it and then to take effectively a view by saying which exact companies will benefit and their share prices could move sharply versus looking at indices and trying to forecast what prices of indices might do in the next 12 months.
So, Jean-Pierre, I'm sure you already know my next question, but I want you to give me some insight into the universe where you see value right now. And when I say universe, I'm asking you to share some of the key stocks in your portfolio at the moment and why they are there and why they are a good play for investors in the South African space going forward.
So we have had quite some Chinese exposure, the likes of Tencent, Alibaba, Pinduoduo, which is listed in the US. And they've done very nicely. So literally today we've trimmed some of that. We still think the story in China is positive, but we have different exposure there we think could be even better, which is more consumer-facing stocks. And the likes of BYD, if you think about the electric vehicles being exported out of China to other places in the world. So notwithstanding this big tension between the US and China, we think China is so good in what they do, we rather want some long exposure to China. Looking at the US, we still have exposure to the big tech shares. A lot of people say they are expensive. But to my earlier point, you might say that the US economy has been humming for quite a while, so surely things must slow down. But because 40% of a lot of these companies' revenues outside of the US, we're actually taking a view about global growth, not just US growth. And then the runway still looks good. So still long exposure to the likes of Alphabet and Meta, the US. And then in Europe, we still have some banking exposure. We've seen how well banks can do when you go from negative real rates or very low interest rates just to a normalization, like has happened the last 2-3 years. So the likes of some Spanish banks have done quite well for us. Don't ask me to pronounce them, Bronwyn. I'm going to get it wrong with the Spanish accent. So yes, those are some of the shares that have done well for us and continue to do well.
I just want to get your thoughts on the Rand. Yesterday, speaking to Magnus Hesteyp, he was saying that he believes the upside is overdone on the local unit. It's still holding its own. Around about 17.48 intraday in terms of the number that I had on the table earlier. Do you pay much attention to the Rand, or is it just one of those elements that's far too volatile to actually factor in to your investment thesis?
It is volatile, but what we try to pick are extreme levels. If we think we are near extremes, we would make significant changes to the allocation, say within a worldwide fund, that can allocate a certain proportion to South Africa, a certain proportion overseas, we would change that allocation. We don't think the RAD is at an extreme point at the moment. 17 to 18 seems to be the fair value if you look at interest rates and pricing parity. So for us, we're more or less in that wide range of normal. If the RAND should weaken above 20, that for us would be extreme. And if the RAND should strengthen below 16, that for us would be extreme. Then you'd take quite significant action in our allocation between South Africa and overseas countries. But for now, between 17 and 18, I would say that's about fair value for the Rand.
Jean-Pierre, final question. The geopolitical environment and escalating tensions in the Middle East, how do you protect yourself from that potential scenario?
Yes, it's been a full year since the tragedy we saw in Israel a year ago. And still a lot of heightened tensions in the Middle East. Plus, we still have Russia-Ukraine going on. So the best defense we've seen is to diversify. And if you can, in a hedge fund, use that shorting tool, that's also quite useful. So, one of the things you could do is be clever when it comes to oil versus nuclear. Oil prices have come down as people unknowingly, because of this risk, moving to alternative energy sources like nuclear. So uranium stocks and U.S. Nuclear energy provider stocks have done quite nicely. So again, if you look at specific stocks, we believe you can build a portfolio that is diversified enough that you can mitigate risk through getting all kinds of different exposures, that if one part of your portfolio doesn't perform, another part will make up.
Jean-Pierre Fasta is the CEO of Protea Capital Management. Thank you very much for your time. Diversification, the name of the game. Appreciate your time here on BizNews.
Thanks, Bronwyn.